Father, as always, we thank you because the entrance of your word, you know, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Light, you know, the very lamp to our feet and light to our path, you know, light in our hearts and light all around us in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The last few days, past, present, and future, some of the things we've talked about, you know, hindsight, and foresight, and also the understanding that comes from the inspiration of the Lord. And we gave some testimonies yesterday. I want to continue that, give more opportunities for people to react to this inspiration of the Almighty, because it's so critical. I want to read a few additional scriptures today. The first one I want to talk about is in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, we read this before, but I want to bring out a point that understanding is so key to even the word of the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, that the seed that fell on the wayside from this parable of the sower is when someone hears the word of God but has no understanding. So let's think about that for a minute. You hear the word of God, have no understanding, that the devil will come and catch away from their heart that even what they have heard. So understanding is so important to the things of God. You might call it revelation at that point. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus did an opinion poll and asked his disciples and said, well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And one said after this sort and another after that sort. So Jesus said, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, in Matthew 16 and 16, the Son of the living God. To which Jesus responded, wow. And he said, flesh and blood has not, revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So we see that even to know who Christ is, it's by inspiration of the Father. He said, well, you know, you couldn't have got that anywhere. You couldn't have learned it in seminary school or elsewhere. It would take God, you know, to reveal to you this knowledge. And Jesus said, you know, I say unto you also that thou art Peter, and you know, upon this rock, I will build my church. Unfortunately, many people think that Peter is the rock upon which Christ built his church. But that's not what Christ was saying here. The rock, as he's referring to here, is the revelation of who Jesus is. Now, Peter could very hardly have been the rock, because, I mean, it was flaky, you know, and didn't even have it together until much later. And Jesus even had to pray for him. You know, Jesus said, well, you know, the devil has desired to have you and sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, and that when you are converted, you also, you know, strengthen your brethren. So Peter could not have been that rock, but the rock is the revelation of whom Jesus is. That's the corner piece of the church. The church is built on the revelation of who Jesus is. Now, unfortunately, many people don't have that understanding, and the understanding comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. So, for us to know who Jesus really is, it comes from God revealing this to us, you know. And the same way for us to know who the Father is, it also comes from the Lord. Now, Jesus himself said that, you know, no man knows the Son but the Father, and no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That comes by revelation. You can read that in Matthew 11 and verse 27. You know, it said, no man knows the Father or the Son, and vice versa. And to get this knowledge, it comes by revelation or inspiration. So think about that for a minute. In the days of Christ, in his human days of his flesh, people thought they knew him. You know, they called him the son of Joseph. Well, so is this not the son of the carpenter? Is this not his mother and not his sisters and brothers here with us? I mean, we know this guy. So who is he, I mean, to try to be doing these things? Well, they thought they knew him, but they didn't. So what do we think today? You know, and Philip also asked the question in John chapter 14. He said, look, you've been talking to us about the Father for a long time. Why don't you just show us the Father? And that'll be sufficient for us. And to which Jesus also answered, Philip, have I been with you all these times, such a long time? Well, I've been with you, you've been with me all this time, and yet you do not know me. And there's a lesson to call out there. You know, I mean, some people have been going to church, hanging around, you know, the things of the Lord for a long time. Some are even born and raised in the church, but yet they may not know the Lord. I mean, these people were hanging around Jesus, were his closest people around him. He chose them to be his disciples, and he was teaching them. And Jesus is still saying, Philip doesn't know him. So how do we know him then? You know, how do we know him in a way that it will be acknowledged of God that we actually know him? Well, the issue here in this case was that Philip did not recognize that Jesus Christ, according to how Christ put it, said, do you not know or believe that I am in the Father and in the Father in me? You don't believe that? And so in this particular case, Philip was struggling with understanding who the Christ really was. I mean, he was there, you know, like a man. Everybody could feel and touch him, and they could speak to him and so forth. But they didn't realize that inside him was the very spirit of the living God. The fullness of the Godhead was upon him, you know, and he did not get the spirit of God by measure. The rest of us, you know, we have that spirit by measure, but not Christ. Christ had the fullness of the Godhead. It's not given to him by measure. You can read that in John chapter 3 and verse 34. The Spirit of God was upon him, not by measure. That's why Christ said, except I go, the Spirit of God cannot come. It's expedient for you that I leave. Because at the time that he was here, he had 100%. You know, nothing could be shed for to anybody else. You know, so that was the way that God planned it for the redemption of mankind. Jesus would come in the fullness of the Spirit of God, and he would call out a people for himself. He would lay down his life. He would die for our sins. He will be resurrected for our justification. He will go up to heaven and he will send the Holy Spirit. That was a full cycle planned by God. But today, we have the Holy Spirit by measure. But all of these things must be understood. You know, if we don't understand it, we just have head knowledge. All the scribes in the days of Christ, they had head knowledge. They knew where Christ would be born, because when Herod made, inquisition of, where would Christ be born? They knew it. They quoted the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, that said, Christ will be born in Bethlehem. You know, unfortunately, they did not understand that very scripture, because that very scripture also says that Christ did not just set up shop, but that his goings forth have been from of old. They didn't understand it. And they thought he was a mere man. And today, we need understanding from the Lord to figure that out. Until this day, the concept of Christ is misunderstood, you know, by so many. And we, in our heads, sometimes think that Christ is less than God just because he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, became obedient, you know, even unto death, even the death of the cross. So everybody, many people think, well, you know, Christ is over here, God is over there, Holy Spirit is over there, you know, but according to the scriptures, in Christ is wrapped up the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you have to read that for yourself. Get understanding in Colossians chapter 2, you know, verse 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, you can read this thing up and down as much as you want. You can slice it, dice it. You can read it in Hebrew, you can read it in Greek, you can read it in Aramaic, you can read it in any kind of language. But unless the Holy Spirit gives it to you by understanding, the letter killeth, is the Spirit that giveth life. So that's one inspiration, that's one aspect of the inspiration of the Almighty that I want us to consider today. And if you understand it, others don't, well, why should you boast? The Bible says that what is it that you have that you did not receive of God? You know, because whatever you have, God is the one that gave it to you. Now, so where is boasting then? Now, some people make an issue about, oh, you know, I know who Jesus is. I understand the Godhead and others don't. And then they make an issue out of that as if it's something they got by themselves. You know, so that's wrong too. Anything that you have, it comes from God. And if it came from God, then there is no need for boasting. You could not have got it, you know, by yourself. That's what Jesus was saying to Peter. And what is it that you have today that did not come from the Lord? You know, if it came from God, then there is no boasting. Everything that we know about God or think we know about God, it came from God. You know, so we need to humble our hearts and just thank him for sharing this information with us. Let me read to you this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. You know, who maketh thee to differ from another? In other words, you know, why do you think you're better than anybody else? Just because you have some understanding, or you have some inspiration. You know, what is it that you have that you did not receive? It asks here. And now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory then as if you have not received it? So that scripture tells it all. There is nothing we have, even the inspiration of the Almighty, even the understanding of who Christ really is, that we did not receive from God. So there is no boasting. The same Christ who revealed it, I mean, the same inspiration of God who revealed it to us, he revealed it to them too, you know, in due time. You know, so the best way to conduct ourselves is to say and pray that others may have this understanding also. Now, when the understanding is darkened in people, the minds of their understanding are darkened, they cannot understand, I mean, they cannot comprehend the love of God. That's why Paul always prayed that, you know, the mind of your understanding will be enlightened. Now, nobody, you know, can really be saved unless first the eyes of their understanding be opened and they be, you know, delivered from darkness and from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of the devil and so forth, you know, to before they can receive the gospel. You know, that is what the Lord told Paul when he gave him the commission to preach the gospel. He said, look, I'm sending you forth, you know, to open their eyes, you know, and then give them understanding, you know, because otherwise they can't understand anything. And if you don't do it like that, you know, you can preach the gospel all day long, nobody is going to understand anything because their eyes are already blinded. It is important for us to understand and to know that God is the one that gives the inspiration even to know who he is. And that is so important. I can't stress that enough today. Praise the Lord. Now, and so let's also understand that when we are talking to people about Christ or trying to share the gospel, we have to recognize that it's important that the scales that are over their eyes be removed. And if those scales are not removed, they really can't understand anything, you know. So when God gives us the opportunity to share the gospel, when we take and find that opportunity, let's remember that. Now, our own eyes that have been opened, what does that really mean? Well, it means that God gave us this knowledge, the knowledge of God that he gave to us. It was God that did it. And we are in him because of that knowledge. And now that we have that knowledge, then we ourselves must try to share that knowledge with others. But remember, you cannot repeat. You cannot make anybody have this inspiration. Jesus said it to Peter. Nobody taught it to you. We can't teach it to anybody. You can try to explain the gospel to them, but the inspiration to understand it would have to come from God himself. And it is important for us to understand that. If we don't understand that, well, we'll just be going around trying to do it in our power. But we will not know that it's really not possible. Now, so that's one aspect of inspiration of the Almighty that I want us to consider. And consider also these scriptures that I want to give you. Let me read to you one or two things here from the book of Acts chapter 26. you know, this is the testimony of Paul, how the Lord called him. In Acts chapter 26, he said, you know, I was going to Damascus to persecute the saints and so forth, to receive authority and commission from chief priests. He said in verse 13 of Acts 26, at midday, you know, he said, look, I saw a light. You know, this was his testimony before King Agrippa. I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and those that journeyed with me. And then he said, he heard a voice that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he said, you know, I said, well, who art thou, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now let's look at the things that Christ talked about. To make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen, you know, and also of the things to which I will appear unto you later. Now, look at the process. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you. Well, first, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. You know, if those things don't happen, they will not understand how to receive forgiveness of sins. And they will not understand how to enter into the inheritance of the saints. They can't do it. You know, so open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance, you know, among the people that have faith in Christ. So this is so important for us to understand that. Pray that the eyes of the people be opened, that we teach the gospel to. Otherwise, they won't understand anything. So that's an important concept of this inspiration. This knowledge comes from the Almighty. Let's read a couple more scriptures, and then I'm going to have some testimonies. In the book of Psalm 18 and verse 28, you know, I want to talk about this understanding in the aspect of light. So let's look at understanding and inspiration in from the perspective of light. Okay, so for light to shine in our hearts, the knowledge of Christ to shine in us. Well, I say, well, Christ has shined in our hearts. Well, what is it that it means? Well, for thou, O Lord, will light my candle. Psalm 18 and verse 28. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. So it is important for us to understand that God is the one that lightens our candle. God is the one that enlightens our darkness. Hallelujah. And that is how we get revelation. Revelation cannot come except the light shines in our hearts. And it can come from the word of God. You know, that's why you heard me say it all the time. You know, so the truth about God causing his light to shine in our hearts is also described in 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4. It says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, you know, that's verse 6, has also shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This scripture is so deep in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, God must shine that light in our hearts. you know, in order to, for us, he's the one that can enlighten our understanding. I'm talking about spiritual things now, but he works in every aspect. We covered even the physical realm yesterday, education and so many things, how God can help you. I'm talking about spiritual things today. You know, spiritual things of, I mean, the things of God are spiritual and they are only spiritually discerned. And, you know, you can't get it, you know, any other way. Let's look at Psalm 36 and verse 9. Psalm 36 verse 9. Again, the same concept here, you know, that is being revealed. It says, you know, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. So the only way for us, you know, to get the light, which I'm calling inspiration of the Almighty or illumination, and your mind is illuminated, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, there's some revelation, some understanding that comes into your mind. Well, it comes from the light, and that light is only from God, who is the source. You can get it also from the Word of God, but you can't get it from the Word of God by letters. You can only get it by the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but it is the Spirit that quickeneth. You know, so some people think that they can get the knowledge of God by letters. Well, we should study the best, do all the best we can, but it's God that can reveal it. You can't get it unless God reveals it to you. But we should study to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that, you know, study to show yourself approved. But also remember that when you are studying to show yourself approved, it's actually only God that can make you understand it. Otherwise, it'll just be letters. I've heard people argue that, well, unless you read it in the Greek or you read it in the Hebrew or you read it in this and that, you know, some people even go as far as saying you can't be saved. And I'm like, you know, knowing the Greek or knowing Hebrew does not give you any advantage over anything at all. In revelation, the knowledge of God comes by revelation. Can't get it. The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God comes by revelation. I mean, otherwise, then we would say that people who are not educated cannot have the knowledge of God. You know, and what advantage did you have now that you know all these words over your great-great-grandmother that was in the bush or in the village? God could have revealed himself to them. They might even have had the knowledge of God more than you do because, yeah, and they didn't know any letters. And even in the days of Jesus, they say, well, how did this man have, him, you know, all this understanding, seeing he knows no letters? You know, they look at, you know, you didn't go to school. Paul was proud that he went to the school under Gamaliel. In those days, it was like, you know, that's like going to Harvard or Yale or some other place. You know, I mean, studied on that, this. But whether you do all of that or not, sometimes that's good. Sometimes it doesn't help you. But it is good for us to study. But remember the words of Jesus in John 6 and 63. He says, the flesh profits nothing. You know, so just studying it in the flesh, it will profit nothing. It's the Spirit of God. The inspiration comes from God. You can hear the words all day long. That's why two people can hear the same thing and it will ignite something in someone, and the other one just moves on. It does nothing to them at all. And you go to church, you know, the preacher comes up on stage and gives, you know, a teaching or sermon, or even in this room, and people say, ah, oh, what a wonderful message. And the next day, they don't remember anything. What is it? I noticed that, you know, in our church, we always do this review as part of the service, and we review what was taught last Sunday or last service before we go into today's one. And then sometimes when you call for the review, people don't even remember. And some of the people that don't remember, at the time when they heard the message, they might have said, oh, that was a wonderful message. Well, wonderful message, if you don't remember it later, that means you were just there in the flash. You know, because you were there at the moment, you got excited, but later you don't even remember it, and it will have no impact at all, except it comes by revelation. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And that's what quickeneth. So being there in the flesh gives you no advantage. So if you're right here in this room, you've heard me say it, being here physically gives you no advantage unless you connect in the spirit. If you connect in the spirit, then you have an advantage. If you do not connect in the spirit, just being there gives you no advantage whatsoever. You know, so, but connecting in the spirit is what brings the revelation and what brings the understanding. And, you know, when you do that, the Holy Spirit, you know, says, I mean, it's written in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. When you can connect with God like that in the spirit, you know, it says, look, the anointing that you have received of him, 1 John 2 and 27, that same anointing abides in you. And that's the anointing that brings revelation. And you need not that any man should teach you, but the same anointing can teach you all things. That's right. Now, we have teachers, who, by the grace of God, I'm also, you know, such a one. But really, what this is saying is that, you know, they can teach you and can attempt to do that, but unless you have that anointing and that revelation, that inspiration, you still won't get it, you know. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that can bring that revelation. Now, like I said, we must do our part. We must study. You know, one time Jesus visited Mary and Martha and, you know, Lazarus and, you know, their home and so forth. And, you know, Martha was encumbered with so many things, serving the people, getting snacks and all of that. And Mary just sat down, you know, at the feet of Jesus. And Martha came and said, Master, bid my sister to come and help me. I mean, why am I the only one, you know, trying to serve the people? What she was doing was a good thing. I mean, being hospitable, the master is here. You got to wash his feet. You got to serve them snacks. You got to serve the disciples that came with him. I mean, you got to do all these other things. I mean, you know, that was good. But not as good as the one that sat at the feet of Jesus. You know, so you can read that story. It's in a couple of different places. You can read it in Luke chapter 10, verse 42. He said, look, there's one thing that is necessary. Mary has chosen that good thing, and it will not be taken from her. And you are encumbered with so many other things. You know, so when we sit at his feet to learn, and our heart is open, and our heart is open to the Lord, he will teach us things. And that's the best thing that you can have going for you. It's the good thing. Jesus said that's a necessary thing. You know, all these other things are good, but this is the best thing you can do. Sit down and learn from him. But remember, when you are doing the learning, it's not just letters. You know, so that's the point that I'm trying to bring out. The learning that we are talking about is not just letters. It's not about us using words. In fact, Paul, writing to Timothy, Titus, all these people say, look, you know, be careful of words, jangling and so forth, striving with words to no profit. you know, striving about words and so forth, you know, that's not going to do you any good. Listen to this in Job chapter 11. Whereas we must seek after the Lord, right? We must understand something. And it's important for you to understand this. In Job chapter 11 and verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? I mean, that seems like, you know, a no-brainer. We need to search to find out God. But why are you asking me this? Well, it's because of what I'm saying today. Can't you find out God by searching? If he doesn't reveal himself to you, you can't find anything. But yet we are commanded to seek for him and search for him. Isaiah says you will find him when you seek for him with all your heart. But truly, except he reveals it to you, you can't find anything. So it's like we have to put the balance. Yes, we must seek after him, but now you must understand that the real revelation comes from him. They even asked Jesus, why is it that these others, you're speaking to them in parables? Well, Jesus said, because it is written of them that hearing they will hear, but they will not understand anything. You know, so if you hear and you understand, then we got to tremble before the Lord that made us to understand. Because a lot of people hear the same thing and they don't understand it. Makes no difference to them at all. You know, all the children, I've said this multiple times, that were with Adam before Enoch, they heard the same stories that Enoch heard. Why are the cherubims there? What happened in the garden? This and this and this. They all of them heard the same thing. Because they all must have asked Adam the same questions. But that make any impact to any of them except Enoch. You know, so it was by revelation and was by inspiration. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection by going to school and studying letters? Those things have their place and they're good. But the revelation and inspiration comes from God. All right. So I wanted to bring that aspect in today. And there's one more. Let me just read one more lesson here that I want to read. And then we'll switch to reactions and testimonies. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Now, counsel in the heart of man is like drip water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, the subject of counsel is another subject all by itself. I can take 3 days just to preach on that or teach on that. But there's something here. Understanding is what can draw things out. Well, but where does that understanding come from? It comes from the Lord. So that's the secret of it all. You need understanding to get the things. I mean, to know, have the knowledge of God. You even need, you know, understanding to know what the word of God is saying when you hear it. Otherwise, they will come and pluck it out of the heart. But that understanding only comes by inspiration of God. He's the one that gives you understanding. And when you have it, now you can draw out counsel, can draw out all kinds of things. And it's amazing. All of a sudden, you know, you just have this incredible knowledge, perception, and deep comprehension all at once that you didn't even know before. It comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. Well, let's talk some more about it. You know, we heard, you know, some testimonies yesterday, you know, given by, you know, I gave some, others gave some. Won't talk about it more. Let's talk more about it. If you have questions, let's ask. You know, I want the next hour or more to be on discussions around this topic. You know, what exactly does it look like? You know, feel free to share what the Lord shown you, perhaps what you've experienced in your life. Share. And even if you have questions, you know, let's ask. If you have testimonies, let's give, you know. So remember, it is the Spirit that gives life. The letter killeth. You can find that also in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. So as we read the Bible, if the Holy Spirit, the light of God, does not lighten your candle, if it does not lighten the darkness, all of us have darkness in our hearts by nature. How we were born. But Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. That light can come through you from the Word of God, come to you by the Spirit of God. But it's got to come to you, otherwise you will not understand anything about God. You know, I just don't know how to explain this better than that. So if you see people that don't understand the things of God, it's because they have no light in them. That's what Isaiah 8 and 20 says. He said, go to the word, back to the law and the testimony. If anyone is not speaking according to the revelation of the word of God, it's because there is no light in them. They just don't, you can't do it. You know, so, you know, we need to be patient with those who don't have the light, because they just don't have the light. You know, that's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing, because they don't have the light. You know, and Stephen also even prayed the same prayer. They don't know what they are doing. You know, so rather than getting into argument over words, you need to know that, look, it's by revelation. They cannot understand it except it be given. You can't get it. And those who have it, you ought to tremble before the Lord. It's not because of your power or your greatness or anything. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged always have understanding. But there's a spirit in man. There is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives them understanding. Let's talk about that inspiration. Praise the Lord. And if you have experienced sudden illumination, and if you have experienced comprehension beyond your means, if you have experienced, you know, a sudden acquisition of knowledge, which you couldn't have learned from anywhere, that's all the inspiration of the Almighty. Let's talk about it. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this exhortation to remind us that to understand even the things of God comes from you. And as we share these discussions, speakers that come after me, testimonies that may come, let it all be to your glory and let everyone be edified. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.